The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf mem, and we will begin from the Mishnah on the top of daf mem. Hamafkin peiros it's a chaveroi. Somebody that gives his friend peiros as a pikadin. Hareza yoytzi loiches roinoi. So the halacha is that when he returns the pikadin, he doesn't have to return 100% of what he got, but rather he could give a little bit less. And the Mishnah is going to describe in detail, depending on what the pekadon was, how much less he's allowed to give. But the premise why you can give a little bit of less is because we assume that some of this item depleted with time. So if he gave you 100 kor of something, when you're returning it, you're probably not returning the 100 kor. Says the Mishnah, what's the methodology to know what the rate of depletion, of depreciation is? L'chitin ula oires. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that oires is mil, which the English art scroll teaches as millet, which is a type of grain. But traditionally, oiris is actually teached as rice. We'll see that in a minute. So if it was chitim or oiris, so it's tisha chatzoi kabin, 9 half a kabin, in other words, 4.5 kabin, l'kor, for every kor. It's 2.5%. L'sa'irin, if it was barley, ule doichin, then it's tisha kabin l'kor. It's 5%. L'kusmin, if it's spelt, ule zera pishton, flaxseed, shalosh sa'in l'kor, which is 10%, akol l'fi amidah, akol l'fi azman. And this number is going to be pro rata, depending on how many kurim there are, meaning it's for every kor, and also akol l'fi azman, depending how long you had it. Rashi said, this number is for every year. So for every year that you have it, for every kor, this is how much you, as the Shomer Pekadon, are allowed to deduct when you actually return the Pekadon. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. The whole issue over here is that you're worried that the achbar, the mouse, or the mice, are going to, where does the depletion come from? That's probably what it is. They eat out of the tefuah. So, they eat pro rata, depending on how much there's there. Morty, they eat whatever they eat. But it's exactly. But you can't say, oh, there's 100 kor, so they give you 2.5% of 100. If there's 2 kor, it's 2.5% of 2. L'chur, they eat whatever it is they eat. So it doesn't make sense, then it should be hakol afi amida, hakol afi hashana. Yeah, there's a certain amount that they consume on an annual basis. But hakol afi amida, that's already push. Ela inu yoytzi lechasrenes, ela kor achabavad. It's 1 kor, and that's what you have. Yudam and Yudas and Moise amida beruba, if the amount was a very large amount, inu moytzi lechasrenes, then you're not moytzi chasrenes at all. The mnesha meisiris. I guess the thought is that if you have a lot, it's going to actually grow with time, being that it's supposed to grow with time, so any depletion that's there is just offsetting what grows, so therefore, you're not supposed to deduct anything. The Gemara will discuss Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in greater detail in a minute. But I'll just tell you something interesting. You have Oiriz over here. So what Oiriz is featured very prominently is in Perakets and Mavarchim. So if you learn Perakets and Mavarchim, Rabbi Shmuel, Amri Travayu, Oiriz, you make a Boir Mine Mezoinis, and you make a Boir Nefashis. Most Rishonim say that Oiriz is rice, and it's for that reason, on rice, you make a Boir Mine Mezoinis, and you make a burn of fashis. If oiris is something else, then it could be a rice that's not what you would make. No. So it's a big tumult. In the Maaser Rav, they bring that the Vilna Gaon, when he ate rice, would make a burn of minim zaynus, and he would make a burn of fashis based on the pashas in the Rishonim that oiris is rice. It's not millet, it's rice. In the back of the Maaser Rav, they bring from Rabbi Rufal Katzen Elboygen that he said there's a Maserah that how did the Gra know that oiris is rice? He said that he tested this test that's brought down in the Mishnah here in Perek HaMafkin. How much does Oiriz deplete over a year? And he said it worked for rice, it didn't work for millet, and it was based on that the Vilna Gaon, this is classic, came out with this Psak Halacha that Oiriz is in fact rice. Oiriz, Freit the Gemara Tuvachaser. The truth is, says the Gemara, if you do the experiment, you're going to find that oiris depletes even more. The Mishnah was talking about peeled oiris. Kusmin ul zera pishtan gimel son l'kor. Kusmin ul zera pishtan. We said it was gimel son for every kor. It's talking about where the zera pishtan, this flaxseed, was still in its husk. Tanyan amihachi, the kusmin ul zera pishtan b'gevoylem. We mentioned that oiris in the Mishnah is talking about where it's kalif, where it was peeled. What about Oyres that's not peeled, Oyres in a kol of shloisha saw in the court, there's 30 saw to the court, which means it's 10%. It depletes at a much higher rate. Hakol of yamito, tana kain l'chol kur v'kur, v'chein l'chol shana v'shana. Every court, every year, you have to take into consideration. Rabbi Yechon ben Uri argued, Tanya, amr leid Rabbi Yechon ben Uri, what was Rabbi Yechon ben Uri's argument? He said, what, the mice know how much is there, and they're going to eat pro rata based on what's there. A mouse comes, he eats what he eats. So he doesn't take in the mida into consideration. So what was Rabbanan Steiner back? They told Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, Harbe Oivdis Mehem, Harbe Bispazus Mehem. You're assuming that the whole issue here is the Achbar. It's all the mouse. That's not the only issue over here. There could be other issues involved. Meaning some of it gets lost, some of it gets scattered. If it was only the mouse that we're worried about, then it wouldn't be Lefi Hamida. It would be Lefi Hashana, but not Lefi Hamida. But being that there are other considerations as well, it's for that reason that we don't look at it that way. Tosfos says that this is not the real time of the Rabbanim. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi. V'tamayu de Rabbanim mefarish b'Yerushalmi. The real reason why the Rabbanim didn't agree with Rabbi Yechon ben Uri is based on a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Hani achbor rishi. The mice, they're big rishoim. Katchamnin ibor, when they see food, loy mistayu da achli. Not only do they eat, elakanyu the chavrayon, they do a spot. They call all their friends, the achli imoy, to come eat with them, so that, like this, it is going to be lefi hamida. Zok the Gemara, vayte, tot, pemet, varam amurim. This halacha of the Mishnah that says that if you're a shayim b'kadon, when you're returning the b'kadon, you're allowed to take off a little bit, because you're assuming there's depletion. And how much do you take off? It's based on this cheshbin that's mentioned in the Mishnah. That's only she'irvin and peyroisav. That's if the shomer pekadon took the tefillah that he was watching, he mixed it up with his peyrois. So now when he returns it, he has to know how much to return. You deduct 2.5%, 5%, 10%. Avayichal karen zavis. But let's say you never mixed it together with your own tefillah, which, by the way, you're not allowed to mix it with your own tefillah. This Mishnah is Bereshi Askinon. The Gemara asks, Otu Bereshi Askinon. Yeah, not only the Achborim Arishim in this Mishnah, the person himself is a Rasha. This is not something that you're allowed to do. But either way, says the Bereisa, the Mishnah is talking about someone that took the cotton and he mixed it with his own stuff. But had he not, then it's very simple. You don't need a Mishnah. If it depleted, it depleted. What does that have to do with me? As long as neither Shomer wasn't Paisheya, so this is what you gave me, I'm returning it to you. But the Gemara asks, if it's so simple, then the chi'irvin in peiroitz at mahava, why then should the halacha be different if you ma'arv it with your peiros? Lechsa the day kamahava, take a look at how much he put, what percentage of the overall number is it? So let's say he added 10%. So 10, meaning 10% of what's there now belongs to the Baal HaBayis, the 90% belongs to the Baal HaPakadon. So why do you have to make Cheshbon as 2.5%, 5%, 10%? Just take 90% of whatever's there and give it back to the Baal HaBayis. So the Gemara says it's talking about where he took away his already. B'mistapik mehem. V'lechzikam mistapik. Because how much did he take away, add it back, do the arithmetic? It shouldn't be too complicated. L'edikam is, we don't know. If we would know, then that would be the easier way to do it. But we're talking about where it was mixed. We have no idea what else is there. We just know how much the original pekadon was. We know for sure some of it was depleted. Use the formula in the Mishnah to figure out how much the shomer pekadon is supposed to give back to the Baal HaPekadon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Im hoisa mida meruba, if the number was a lot, meaning if it was a big pekadon, any mitzvah like Hasroinus, because it gets offset with the fact that the tefuah there grows. Kama mida meruba, amar Rabba bar Bachana, amar Rabbi Yochanan, asara kurin, 10 kurin, tayin amayachi, kama mida meruba, asara kurin. Tana tanaka meda Rav Nachman, bet varam amurin. When is the halacha of the Mishnah true? Shemada loy mitoich garnoi, vehechser loy mitoich garnoi. Avamada loy mitoich garnoi, vehechser loy mitoich beisoi, eni yoitzi loy chesroinis, with nesha meisiris. So, Poshet, what the Tana was telling Rav Nachman, was that he had heard a braisa, that the braisa said that the only time this halach is true, that the shomer pekadon is allowed to withhold, is if the measurement that's being used to measure how much the pekadon is was the same measurement when the Baal HaPekadon gave it to the shomer as is being used when the shomer pekadon is giving it back to the Baal HaPekadon. So apparently there were two medidos that were used. There was the measurement that was used in the goyren, and then there was the measurement that was used in the bias. So if the measurement was the one that was used for the goyrin, both sides, when it was given, he says, I'm giving you now one core of chitin, and they used the medida, proved to me that it's a core. So he takes out this medida that was used in the goyrin, here it's a core. Now when I return it, I have to, again, measure it. I take the medida that's used in the goyrin, I measure a core, then I'm allowed to deduct little bit from it and return it that way. But if the measurement that's going to be used when the pekadon is being returned is not the measurement that was used in the goyin, but it's the measurement that was used in the bayis, then in the yotzei chesroinus, and the reason is because that measurement's a smaller measurement. So it means that it's a smaller measurement, you're anyways giving him a little bit less. So it means that you're anyways giving him a less, you can't double dip. You can't use the smaller measurement and then deduct another few percentage points. Says the Gemara, Amalei. So Rav Nachman told the Tana, you need a braisa to tell me this. V'chi b'shuftini askinam, Rashi says, shuftini shoitim. What, we're dealing with fools? That I'm going to give it to you with the bigger measurement, you're going to give it to me back with the smaller measurement. Obviously, that's not, we don't need a braisa to tell me that in that case, you're not returning the whole idea is that when the medida is the same, still, you can account for a little bit of depletion. Diavi b'kaila rabba v'shalti b'kaila zuta, what I'm lending it to you with a bigger measurement, you're going to give it back to me in a smaller measurement. So Rav Nachman said, but it is a braisa. We have to be miyashiv this braisa. Maybe the braisa meant something else. Not the medida, the measurement that was used in the goyren, but rather be a moisa goyren. What he was trying to say was that when is the halacha true that you can account for the pollution shemad lebi moisa goyren, the hechs lebi moisa goyren, where the transaction took place in the same time of the year. It was given to the shomer in the time when the grain is in the goyren, and it was returned back to the baal pekadon at the time when the grain is in the garden. But if it was given to him at the time of the garden, and he returned to the Moisak Shamim, then you're not Moitzi Chisarin. And the reason is, because apparently during the winter, the Tfuah grows a little bit, it blows up a drop, and as a result, the formula is off, the number is off, therefore, you're anyways giving him a little bit less, so you can't double dip, you can't offset it. If that metzias is true, that every time during the rainy season, be moisak shamim, tfua expands, then lifka kadva. So he said, l'chura, let's do the following experiment. Put tfua in a sealed kad barrel. When it comes to the moisak shamim, it should explode, because the tfua itself is going to expand, it's going to pop up the cover of the kad. Says the Gemara, "Have a the pukacha." That's true. Ma'aser shahaya kachaya. It actually ibayaseima mishum itzitza. The way they used to pack the kad, Rashi says, they would squeeze it together in such a way that it was impossible for it to expand, and as a result, that's why this didn't happen. But before we go weiter, just tell you an interesting aura that I saw again in the Sha'ara Mitzianim Bahalacha. I will digress a little bit with his aura simply because it's light and it's interesting. The Sha'ara Mitzianim Bahalacha says that we have a Mishnah where the Mishnah says that when a Shomer Pekadon is watching Tfuah, he stores it. When he returns it, you don't return 100% of what it is you got. The reason is because some of it depletes by itself. How so? The Mishnah said, because of the Achbarim, the mice are going to come and they're going to start eating from it. And being that they eat from it, as a result, you don't have 100 cents on the dollar what it is you got. So you're allowed to take that into consideration when you go ahead and you return it. The Gemara Masechtas Hayriyos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. It's an interesting braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Chamisha Dvarim Meshakchen Es Halima. There are five things that cause a person to forget his learning. Ha'eichel Masha Eichel Achbar. If somebody eats from something that an Achbar eats, Umi Masha Eichel Chasol, or from something that a cat eats. Some say, by the way, that the reason if you eat from what a cat ate, it's kashal etshikha, is because cats eat mice, so you have in it the oichel achbar. The oichel leiv shal behema, the harugel bezesim, somebody who eats olives, he's rugel bezesim, he eats it often. The ashoisim mayim shal shayuri rechitza, if somebody drinks water that was used to bathe, the arechitz raglav zuazu. The eshaimim, some say, afil aminiach kelev tachas mir ashoisim. Even if somebody puts his kelev underneath his head when he sleeps under his clothing, that's also not good. It's meshakchen es alimut. The Braisa continues, Chamisha Dvarim Meshivin Es Halimud. There are five things that cause a person to remember his learning if he forgot it. It's a school of Zikarin, Pas Pichamin. Somebody eats bread that was baked over coals. The Kolshkein, certainly Pichamin Atzmon. It's not the bread Shaboy, it's the Kol Shaboy. V'Eichel Beitza Migulgeles Bloy Melach. So that's an egg that was cooked in a certain way without salt. V'Rogel B'Shemin Zayas, someone that eats Shemin Zayas. V'Rogel B'Yayin U'Besamim. V'Ashoysim Mayim Shal Shayure Issa, someone that drinks the leftover water that was used to knead dough. The Eishayim, some say, someone who dips his finger into salt, and he eats it. Says the Gemara, this last thing that someone that drinks, eats shemen zayis, olive oil, it's good for zikaron, it's a right. Some Rabbi Yechanan said, just like zaysim cause a person to forget his Torah that he learned for 70 years, that's how kosher l'shikra it is. Kach shemen zayis meshiv limud shal shivim shana. Va'rogo b'yayin u'besamim last gemar b'sayele l'rova. Yayin is good. The Amar Rava chamra v'rechani pikchen. That if somebody drinks wine and he smells good, besabim pikchen, it causes a person to open up his mind, it expands his mind, and it's very good, it's something that's good, luzikar. So the aura was, that you have here, it sounds like the metzias was, the achbarim used to eat from the chitin, and presumably you ate the rest, you're returning the pekadin. It's a gemara, that if somebody eats, mimasha oichel achbar, if somebody eats from something that the achbar ate, it's kashal v'shikha. So just a few ha'aras regarding this. Number one, it's interesting that this idea that if someone's oichel mimasha, Achal Achbar is kosher l'shikha, is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechab and the Ramad don't bring it. The Magen Avram brings it. Magen Avram brings it in Simin. In Simin Reish Ayin. In Simin Kuf Ayin, I'm sorry. In Hilchis Suda. The Magen Avram says as follows. Be'inyin dvorim ha-meshakchim es ha-adam. Meaning he's referring to this brisa here in Horius Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Ki-goin zeisim u-kayoytze behem. Ein ze ela ba'am ha'aretz. It's only a problem for an am ha'aretz. Aval ha'maychol be'kavana kenoida. But if somebody eats it with the right kavana, kenoida, as is known, ma'isifin lo yischira. It's actually a good thing. Ki hu mesaki noisa. Ach tzorech lizor ma'oid shleilecho lev behem ha'chai ba'if. And then he quotes the Arizal. So this is one of the few times the Magen Avraham quotes Sifrei Kabbalah. And he says, based on Kabbalah, this Gemara in Ha'iris is only true for am ha'aretz who don't know the right way to eat. But if you eat it in the right way, then to the contrary, not only is it not a bad thing, but it's actually going to be a good thing. I saw Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Zagoyis Yaivitz on this Gemara, right here, Masechtas Ha'iris, he says, Ha'oichel Zeisim, somebody that eats Zeisim, it's kosher l'shikha, and this is the one from the whole list that's the most pertinent. If you eat olives, it's bad l'shikha. You find throughout Shas that people used to eat olives, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he says about Richos in the Sefer Moirik Tzio, that it must be, it's talking about raw olives, but if the olives were pickled, or they were cooked, or they're together with something else, in that case, the halacha is not going to be the way. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Emden paskins. I saw in the Sefer Shmiras Aguf HaNefesh, I went through this a little bit, he says, he's not sure, he understands Rabbi Yaakov Emden's raya. His raya is from the fact that you find in the Gemara, people used to eat Zeisim, maybe they ate it with the proper kavanas. If you eat it with the proper kavanas, then it's not such a bad thing. See, the Shammai says, but either way, it's brought down in the Magen Avraham, so it could be as it relates to the Achbar and the Zeisim, it's not something that inherently is a problem. It's only going to be a problem if you don't know how to eat it. But if it's something that you're going to eat the right way, it could be it's not going to be an issue. But just to digress for a few moments, so it's Yidua that Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer, a kuntres called Sefer HaZikaron. And there's two parts to this kuntres. The first part of the kuntres is about remembering, and the second part of the kuntres is about forgetting. So he has Dvarim HaToivim LeZikaron, then he has Dvarim HaKoshim LeShikcha. So the second part, Chelik Beis, Dvarim HaKoshim LeShikcha, he has a nice akdama. In his akdama, he says that we all know, it's a Gemara Masechtas Menachas Daf Tzadik Tes. It's also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Gemara says, Amar Eish Lakish, Kala Meshakech Dover Echmi Talmudo, if somebody forgets even one thing that he learned, Oyve Belaf, he's over a voice, I say, Shenemar, Hishomer Lecha, Ushmar Navshecha Ma'oy, Petishcha Chasad Vare, Ukid Rabba Amin Amar Rabbi Lo, Dam Rabba Amar Rabbi Lo, wherever it says Hishomer Penural, Eina Elo Voice, I say, Ravino said, based on that, you're going to be over two Lavin. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, based on that, you're going to be over three Lavin. The bottom line is, it's not good to forget your learning, because if you forget your learning, you're actually over a lot. It's also a Mishnah in office. Rabbi Dustoy, Rabbi Yani, Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Oimer. Kol HaShecheach, Dover Echami Mishnasai, Ma'alu Olav HaKosov, Kilu Hischayev Menafshoi. You're Chayev Misa for forgetting your learning. Yoch Lafilo Machmasoin. Let's say you just forgot. It was an oinus. Talmud Loimer, Upen Yasurum Milvalecha, B'Mesira Milipoi. And that's the important caveat. It's only if you do something to forget your learning. But if somebody does something to forget his learning, like Reb Chaim says, not Chazar, but either way, if somebody does something to forget his learning, he's considered a Mesira Milipoi, and Harezeh, Mischayev Menafshe. So Klaus Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Moron, if somebody eats Zeisim, which the Gemara says is Kosher L'Shikha, is he over an Isser? This is Mesira Miliba. You have a Gemara. The Gemara says that if you eat Zaysim, you forget you're learning from 70 years. It's real. It's Kosher L'Shikcha. So based on that, and the Magen Avraham brings it. So if you eat a Zayas, are you over a Lois Aseh? Says Reb Chaim, not only you're not over a Lois Aseh, you're not even over an Aseh, you're not even over an Issa D'Rabbanan. And it's a Mefurish of Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim tells the following story. Echad Shol Michacham. There was a Yid who came over to a Chacham. Amari said, Achbarim Achlu Milachmi. Mice ate from my bread. I want to eat the other side of the sandwich. Em Uchal Lechem and Alechem. Could I eat it or not? Omar, he says, why shouldn't you? Amale, so he told him, Peneshkach Tamudi, because I don't want to forget my learning. I'm very careful. I don't want to forget. I'm a big Talmud Chacham. I know a lot of learning. I don't want to forget it. So he said, I'm very careful, but I'm hungry. So what should I do? Amale, Chacham. So he told him, Ain't a chayef. There's no iser. Ache yoshev yasira miliboy. And this is not called Mesira Miliboy, but the story continues before we get back to the halacha. Then he said, by the way, just as an aside, Vani Roya She'incha Oisik Pateira. As far as I know, the business does Agres and Masmit. V'ataponui, you waste a lot of time. V'yisa Yochel Asik, V'kol Ayem Atabotum Medivre Teira V'hoilich, Atim Ameya Oretz, L'shmoya Dvarim Betelim. You have a lot of shtusim in your head. You want to know my advice? Eat the food. You shouldn't be so careful not to eat things that cause shikha, so that maybe you'll forget all your dvarim betalim and you'll get a fresh start. You'll be able to sit down and start learning. Not a bad zing, but either way, that's the maisa here in the Sefer Chassidim. If you want to look it up, it's tough reish ches. But said Reb Chaim, it's a mefurish Sefer Chassidim that adshem mesira milibay, and this is not called mesira milibay, meaning it's not going to be usher. His question is why not? So he says it could be that it's only a skula, it's something that maybe will cause it. It's only a chash, but either way, it's something that he grapples with. So you can't go through an Indian like this without quoting a Bnei Yisoska. I saw in the Sefer Shmiras Agufa Nefesh, so he's mitzayin the Bnei Yisoska. So I looked the Bnei Yisoska up. Not knowing what I was going to find. It's a Maimer Chodshe Kislev Tevis, Maimer Gimel, Ois Chav Vav. He's talking about Yavon. It's Kislev. So this is soon to be in Yonah de Yoma. It says that Hashem sent Matisyo, he was the Kohen Gadol at the time, to be Menatzeach Kineged the Yavonim. So he has a whole arichos about the Shem Matisyo, the end of Matisyo, Yud, Hey, Vav is a chelik of the Shem Havaya. So he says, Dvarim Soidian, but there were two things that I did understand in this piece that I think is worth repeating. He says, number one, the Yevonim's Matara was, we say it in Ala Nisim, Lashkicham Teirasecha. They wanted to cause Shikchas HaTeirah. What was the next Hanukkah? With a Pach Shem and Zayas. It's not a coincidence, because Shem and Zayas is something that's Mesugal for Zikaron in Torah. It's for that reason that Hashem chose the Pach Shem and Zayas as the vehicle to be Menatzeach Keneged the Yevonim who were coming Lashkicham Teirasecha. He says that the Shem Matisyo is Bigamatria 861. You could do the back of the envelope arithmetic. Rosh Hashanah is also Bigamatria 861. Says the Bnei Yisachar. You know what the Oymik Advarim is? Because Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron. And Matisyo was coming to counter the Shikchas HaTorah of the Yavonim, Lashkicham Torah Secha. Mirumiz in Matisyo was, we're not going to forget learning. The opposite, the Pach Shemen and Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaZikaron. He says you can flip the Remez as well. We know Shteitach that Zois Chanukah is a Yom Adin. Where does that come from? Zois Chanukah is a Yom Adin. He says it's Merum is over here. Because if Rosh Hashanah is the same Gematria of Matisyo, just like Chanukah is a Yom Zikaroin, so too Chanukah is a Shtikal Yom Adin. That's the remez to the Zois Chanukah. Tell you something else interesting. I saw the Marsha on this Gemara right here, off an arch, and Hiris Tafid Gimel on the base. He says that with this, it could be you can answer something that really should bother you. We know the Shivas Haminim. I mentioned the Torah in Parshas Ekev. Eretz Chito Seira VeGethen UTeina VeRimoin Eretz Zeis Shemen UDvash. Why is the Shemen mentioned? The Min is desires. It's not the Shemen. So why do we mention Eretz Zeis Shemen? Says the Marsha, it could be because Zayas is Kosher L'Shikcha. There's a negative connotation to the Zayas. The Shemen is something that, to the contrary, it's something that's Mesugal Azikar. And that's why we want to mention the Shemen, because the Shemen is the Dover Hatoiv, whereas the Zayas has in it a little bit the Tzad Ra. It's a Marshon Chidush Yagodis. That's why the Torah wanted to emphasize the Shemen. as and de-emphasize desires. But you mentioned that desires and the Shemen come together. So I saw Chaim Kanievsky brings from a Sefer that he saw somebody wanted to argue that it could be there should be no problem to eat desires. Because if desires has in it Shemen Zayas, then you eat desires, it's bad for Shikha. But the Shemen Zayas is good for Limud. So Lechura, the two things will counter each other. You shouldn't have a problem. Says Reb Chaim Tzatayis. And he says, I'll tell you why. He says, it's Pashit. There are people that have better memories than other people. So he says, if somebody has a good memory, if he does something that's good Lizikaren, it's going to work better than if someone that doesn't have a good memory does something that's good Lizikaren. And he said the reverse is true as well. If somebody has a bad memory, if he eats something that's kosher l'shikra, it's going to affect him more than someone that has a good memory. So you can't just say that the two are going to counter each other out. To the contrary, every person can see what his Tchunas HaNefesh is. Does he have a better memory or a worse memory? That will determine how much desires will affect him negatively and how much the Shemin Zayas is going to affect him positively. So you can't just say, oh, the two cancel each other out and you're done with it. No, you may be a person that will be more affected by the Zayas than by the Shemin Zayas. So Reb Chaim, he assumes for a double push, that's the way it works. And he says, it's a toy, it's here in the Sefer as a card. What if the Pekodin was wine? So you're watching somebody's Pekodin and the Pekodin that you're watching is wine. So now that you return the wine, how much wine can we assume is not there anymore? So that when the Shemit Pekadim returns the Pekadim, how much could he deduct? Shtus l'yayin, 1/6. So we assume that 1/6 gets depleted. Rabbi Yehuda says chaymish. It's not a sixth, a little more than that. It's a fifth. Yoytzi loy shloisha lugin shemen l'meya. For every 100 lugin of shemen that the Shemit Pekadim is watching, he could deduct 3 lugin. Lugum mechse shmarim, 1.5 lugin, because we assume that the oil turns into sediment. Some of it does. And as a result, that loss is going to go to the Baal HaPekodin. It's not something that you have to eat. As a result, you can return it minus the Shmarim, which we assume is 1.5%. 1.5 lug for each 100 lug. And lugu mechzabela, another 1.5 lug, and we assume was absorbed in the walls of the jug, the kankan. As a result, you don't have to return that either. If the oil was very refined, so there's certainly no shmarim that are going to come from this oil, any yotzi leshmarim, then you don't have to reimburse him, or you're not allowed to deduct the 1.5% of shmarim, because there are no shmarim. Kankanim yishenim, if the jugs were old, Gemara will explain what that means, any yotzi lebella, then you don't deduct the 1.5% for what was absorbed, because an old keli is not going to absorb. Reb Yehuda says, "Afa meicha shemen mezuk l'chaveiro." If somebody sells shemen l'chaveiro, this is the way the Rishonim explained this case, and he basically made a deal. Kol yomais hashana, over the course of the year, I'm going to deliver to you X amount of lugin of shemen. Every month, he takes a delivery. It's an agreed amount for an agreed amount price that's set at the beginning of the year. And during the course of the year, the meicher is going to make delivery. The agreement was shemen snam. The meicher chose to send shemen mezukak, refined oil, meaning had he delivered regular oil that wasn't refined, there would have been shmarim. He chose to send oil that's refined so that it doesn't have shmarim. As a result, says Rabbi Yehuda, we'll see, it's going to be the majority of the rest of the daf, hareza mekabel olav lug umechza shmarim lemeya. The meicher has a right to withhold 1.5% of the shmarim. The Gemara will explain it in detail. Says the Gemara, the first halacha of the Mishnah was that if somebody gives somebody else yayin as a pekodin, the shemit pekodin doesn't have to return 100 cents on the dollar. He can deduct some. How much could he deduct? It seemed to be a machlokes. The Tanna Kamma said a sixth. Rabbi Yehuda said a fifth. V'loy pligi says, well, it's not really a machlokes. Mar ki asre, umar ki asre. Each one was paskining based on what the metzias is, where they are. Asre, the mar, chavu bekira. The one Tanna, where he was, they used to line the inside of the barrel with kira, with wax. It doesn't absorb so much of the wine. Ba'asrei demar, the other Tana, chafu bekufra, they would line it with pitch. It absorbs more. Basically, depending on what kind of bottle was used, what kind of container, what kind of barrel was used, that would determine whether we assume a fifth of it was absorbed by the barrel or a sixth of it was absorbed by the barrel. So it's not a machloikis and halacha. It's very much a technicality depending on what barrel was used. It could be what matters is not the way they lined the barrel, but the clay that was used to make the barrel. Certain clays absorb more. Certain clays absorb less. The bottom line is there's no machlekes. Zokti mar ba'asid Rav Yehuda, Ramu arbon v'tamni kuza bedana. Where Rav Yehuda lived, they would take barrels of wine, they would put 48 kuz, 48 kuzi, of wine into a barrel, and they would sell the barrel, ozel dana b'shita zuzi. They would sell the barrel for 6 zuz. So you have to not get confused between the zuz and the kuz. The zuz is the money that the person would pay to buy the wine. The kuz is like the ounce. That's the measurement, the amount of wine that was used. So a barrel would contain in it 48 kuzin of wine, and it would sell for 6 zuzim. So if you do the back of the envelope arithmetic, how much kuzin did you get for a zuz? 8. It's 48 divided by 6, which is 8. Paras Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda had a little business. He would buy this dana that had 48 kuzin, and he would divide it up into smaller amounts, 6, 6, 6, shisa, shisa, bezuzah, and he would sell each 6 for a zuz. So how much would Rav Yehuda get when he sold the entire 48? 48 divided by 6 is 8. So he would buy it essentially for 6 zuz, and he would sell it for 8 zuz. So he had a business going. Says the Gemara, how much profit did Rav Yehuda make? We're all Jews, we're all curious to know. Dal, talta b'shisa, b'shisa. When he sold 30, when he sold 36, that's where he broke even, because he paid 6. And he was getting a zuz for every 6. So 6 times 6 is 36. So when he sold 36, he broke even. So right now, Pashul Atresa, his gross margins right now are 12 kuzin. Dal tam nishtusi, but he lost 1/12 because he lost 1/6 because 1/6, the Mishnah said, the shtus always gets absorbed into the walls. What's 1/6 of 48? 8. Therefore, from his 12, he's really left with only 4. Pashuluhu arba, he has 4. And that was his profit. So he made 4 kuzin. Now, how much did he sell a kuz for? 4 kuzin. How much did he sell a kuz for? It was 6 for a zuz. So if he had 4, he had 4/6 of a zuz. He had 2/3 of a zuz. So his investment was 6 zuzin. And his profit was 2/3 of a zuz. Freik the Gemara, v'mashmua, we have a kasha, ha'mistakra, yistakra, yisal shtos. If you have a business, you should make sure that your margins are not more than 1/6. Up to a 6, yeah? But more than a 6 already? That's unfair. That's something you're not allowed to charge. So what's the kasha? The kasha is that why didn't Rav Yehuda at least make a 6? He made 2/3 of a 6. Because a 6 would have been a zuz. He made 2/3 of a zuz. So why didn't he try to make more? And Tosfos says, the top Tosfos, it's presumable that if Yehuda wanted to charge a little bit more, he probably could have. Rather, he didn't want to, based on halacha. He could have made the zuz. So the Gemara says, review that other overhead. He had to take into consideration. Ika gulfi, says the Gemara. Ushmarya, number one, who got to keep the barrel? He bought it in a barrel. When he sold it, he didn't sell it with the barrel, so he profited on the barrel. Ushmaryo, and also the sediment that came to the bottom, he kept the sediment. He hachin off ishleit fei, one second. Now it sounds like he's making too much money. Nothing more says, but on the other side, you have ikotirche, you have his labor, but maybe and nice. He had a hired employee, someone to fear the geschäft. Bottom line is, if you do the arithmetic, it turns out, says the Gemara, it comes out to 6. If the shemen was mezukik, then you don't deduct anything for shmarim, because shemen mezukik, refined oil, doesn't have any shmarim. Really, it's, but what about the blias? What about the amount that's going to be nivla? We're talking about where there was a lot of tar, it didn't absorb anything. Keeping the ton. An old keli, once it's already balua, it's not balea anymore. Rabbi Yehuda, Imer afa meicha sheven mezukah lechaver kol yomayis hashana harizem mekabel olav lugu mechse shmarim. Man, this is going to take us down to the Mishnah. So again, let's get this clear again. The last halacha of the Mishnah was a related halacha to the first halacha of the Mishnah, which suggests that if you have wine or if you have oil, some of the wine and some of the oil with time is going to go away. It's going to deplete. So if you measure it at the beginning of the year, and then you measure it again at the end of the year, you're not going to have the same amount. And there's two reasons. Number one, you have shmarim. Some of the oil, some of the wine, turns into sediment. That's not wine. That's psoilus. Additionally, some of it is going to be absorbed. The whole Yerideya is predicated on the halachas of Blias and Plata. So some of it gets absorbed into the fanois of the kli that it's being stored in. So you're going to lose some of that as well. So this is a halacha that's negei hilchas shomer. That's why it's in Perek HaMafkid. Because if I'm a shomer and I have to return the object that I was given, I don't have to return it 100% the way you gave it to me, because it's understood, it's implied. That's Bava Metzia Daf Mem, that some of it isn't going to be there naturally, and whatever goes to the waste naturally is something that I'm not responsible for. That's where it's Negei Hilchas Shomer, but it's also Negei Hilchas Mekach HaMemker. Why is it Negei Hilchas Mekach HaMemker? Said Rabbi Yehuda, because if two people agree that over the course of an extended period of time, the Meicher is going to deliver to the Lekeach a certain amount of shemen. So every month I'm going to deliver shemen, and they made up shemen stam. It's implied that some of the shemen that the meicher has put away for this lekeach is going to deplete with time, so that when he delivers the shemen, he doesn't have to deliver it 100%. He could deliver it a little bit less, to the extent that he's delivering shemen mezukach, refined oil, which is not later going to turn into shmarim again. Because if it's going to return into shmarim again, then he's double dipping. Then he's withholding the shmarim, and then he's vayta going to have shmarim. So if he's going to deliver shemen stam, you just deliver shemen stam. But to the extent that you made up shemen stam, which has shmarim, and you, out of the goodness of your heart, decided to deliver shemen mezukach, which doesn't have shmarim, so the meicher is not mechuyev to take the loss. He can withhold the shmarim that theoretically could have been the loss of a lekeach, and you can give it back minus that 1.5% of shemarim that we always assume shemen has. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Zok to Gemara, Amar Abaya, Ho Amid Gemara, Gishetim Soloimar, Ledivi Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's mashma that the Chachamim argue in the Mishnah. This is Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. It's mashma that the Chachamim argue. In other words, we have a machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, whether this halacha is in fact true. The question is, what's the beer in the machloikis? So Abaya said, if when you sit down and you analyze this machloikis, what you're going to emerge with is as follows. According to Rabbi Yehuda, mutal arav shmarim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you sell somebody shemen and you have shmarim, you're allowed to take shmarim and mix it up together with the shemen to inflate the amount of shemen that you have. The divrei chachamim, according to the chachamim, asur la'arev shmarim. It's asur to be ma'arev shmarim. The divrei Rabbi Yehuda, mutal arav shmarim. You're allowed to be ma'arev shmarim behind the time of the kabbal. That's the reason you can force him to take the shmarim. The amalei, you can tell him, if I wanted, I could have taken the shmarim. I could have took the shmarim. I could have mixed it together with the shemen mezukik, and I would have given it to you. It's something I had the right to do. Hashtanah mikabel. So I didn't do it, but at the very least, then take less. If I wanted to, I could have. So you see that I can pass over this loss to you. So if I could pass over the loss to you, take it. Velei malei, let the lekech tell the meicher. No, it's not the same. Because he arvislei, had you mixed it, have him as davenly. So I would have had the shmarim. So if I wanted to resell it, I could resell the larger amount because the shmarim is there. But hashtanah, my avidloch. My avidle luchudeloy misdavenly. What am I going to do with the lesser amount? So the Gemara is meaning the lesser amount. It's not. It doesn't add up because you see that the shmarim when it's mixed up has values. I'd rather you give it to me with the shmarim. So the Gemara says with balabayas askin and the nichale bitzi. It's talking about where you didn't sell it to someone that's going to resell. You didn't sell it to a soicher. You sold it to someone that's going to use it. He would rather have it clear. So that taina is not a koicha taina because he doesn't want to sell. It, as a result, he has no need for the shmarim. It's better for him to have it without the shmarim. At the end of the day, the meicher could have forced him to take it with the shmarim. Now that he didn't force him to take it with the shmarim, it's like a migu, such a koyach hatayna, he has a right to give it to him minus the shmarim. Says the Gemara, v'lei malei, let the lekech tell the meicher, midalei arvisli, achuli achlisli. From the fact that you didn't mix up the shmarim, you were obviously meichel, meaning you're allowing me to take the full amount with shem and mezukik. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda letamei, the less lemechir. Rabbi Huda doesn't hold of such svaris. Now we learned in the Mishnah above a basar machleis that tzemet. If somebody sells the tzemet, he sells the yoke of the animal. Lochem is a bucker. The bucker doesn't come along. Machleis a bucker. If you sell a bucker, then machleis that tzemet. The yoke doesn't come along. Rabbi Huda says hadam amaydim. It's not such a cut and dry halacha. What you do is you look at how much money was spent. Ketzad amalei machleit smatcha b'masayim zuz. Somebody says sell me your yoke for 200 zuz. Hadavah you do. Everybody knows she not tzemet masayim zuz. That a tzemet doesn't call for masayim zuz. As a result, he must have included the bakar. The chachamim are made in raya. You can't bring a raya from the money. Why? Because the rabbanan say that maybe he was buying it for 200 zuz, and the fact that he's giving more money, he needs to be meichelet. Sometimes people are nice. They want to give somebody money, but you want to give it to them in a nice, classy way. So I'll buy your tzemed for 200 zuz, even though it's nowhere It's not worth anything near that. It doesn't matter. There is such a svara. So you see from the chachamim that the chachamim hold that sometimes we'll interpret a transaction that somebody's just being a really nice guy in a classy way, and he means to be meichel. That's why he's doing it in this way. But Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rabbi Yehuda says, hadamim idim. We never assume that the person's being a nice guy. Not in a business setting, anyways. So therefore, when it comes to this halacha of shem and mezukik, you don't assume that the person ever means to be meichel. He certainly didn't mean to be meichel. And therefore, that taina is not going to be a taina. So that was Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to withhold 1.5%. 1.5 corresponds to the shmar him that if he wanted, he could have mixed. And his koyach hatayin is, if I wanted, I could have inflated the amount of shemen by adding in shmarim that's psalus, that's worthless. I didn't add the shmarim. You're a baal bayis anyways. You have no need for the shmarim. At the very least, let me give you 1.5% less. The chachamim argued. The chachamim said that you're not allowed to do that. What's the pshat? Said Abaya. He's continuing to explain the machlokes. The chachamim also larif shmarim. The chum hold you're not allowed to be marif shvam. Vayinu time with leim akabu. That's why you can't force lekech to take it. The amalei, because the lekech is going to say ibaz la arufim mihavi sharulach. If you wanted to mix the shmarim with the oil, could you have done it? We know the answer is no. Ashdenami loim makabulna. You couldn't have mixed shmarim. You decided to give me shem and mezukik. You're going to have to give me full shem and mezukik. Amalei rapapa la Abaya. Rapapa told Abaya adirab ipcha mistabra. So sometimes the Gemara says svaras that can be spun one way and can be spun another way, which means that the svaras aren't as solid. So Papa told Abaya, I hear what you're saying, but I could take the same svaras and I could flip it, I could spin it differently. I could argue that maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's also la'arif shmarim, and maybe the Chachamim hold that it's mutar la'arif shmarim. And I think it's more mistaber that way. How so? According to the Chachamim, you're allowed to be ma'arif shmarim. It's for that reason that lekech can't be forced to take less. The amalei, because the meicher can tell, the lekech can tell the meicher, midlay obviously, from the fact that you didn't mix the shmarim with the shemen achuli achlesli, you obviously meichel. The divi Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, also larish shmarim, you're not allowed to be marish shmarim, behind the time of the mekabel, that's why you could force him to take it. The amalei, he could tell him, iboy la'aruvi le'sharli, if I wanted to mix shmarim into the shemen, I couldn't have done that. La'aruvi loch, kabuli le'mekabel, he's telling me now, you're not mechuyev to take 1.5% less. Zavin v'zavin tagri ikri, how people are going to call me, people are going to say I'm a lousy businessman. I have to be able to make a profit margin somehow. Rashi says sometimes the profit margin was the shmarim. That was the whole difference. So either I could mix the shmarim or I could deduct 1.5% for the shmarim. But if I can't do either one, I have no way of turning a profit. It's for that reason that Rabbi Yehuda holds, because it's asalar shmarim, it's dafka for that reason that you can force him to take the 1.5% less. One more technical gemara. Tan echad halekeach. The echad hamafkid lefkatim. So we were talking about the shmarim. Now we have the fkatim. What are the fkatim? So if you look in the English art scroll, scum. So pretty self-explanatory. But the scum is part of the pit of the fruit that would sometimes go into, say, you open a bottle of wine sometimes with a bad cork, so you'll have a little scum. That would be the equivalent thereof, anyways, in the cork. So echad alekech v'echad hamafkid. When it comes to who gets to keep or who can taina, I'm going to deduct because of the scum. So the lekech and the mafkid are the same. So it's the same, but what's the halacha? We know it's the same halacha for the mafkid and the lekech. We need more information. Just you can't force the lekech to take it. It doesn't include into the quantity of what the lekech is buying. So to the mafkid, that makes no sense. Why should I be mechuyev to keep it? I'm obligated to keep it. At the end of the day, we said that Shomer Pekadin is certainly allowed to give the Pekadin back, and he can deduct any depletion that happened that wasn't a result of his pshia. Ella must be it's the other way around. Just like the mafkid certainly has to take the Pekadin, I mean, the Shomer Pekadin has a right to give it back to the mafkid, so too, a lekech is forced to take the pekatim. So coming out halacha lemaisa, the lekech has to take the pekatim. But the Gemara says, that true? Even kabel lekech pekatim. Atayim went to the price. Rabbi Doimer, lo yamu shemen achur elu lemeicha b'vad. That this idea that you're allowed to force someone to take shemen achur, that's like murky oil that has an epkatim, that's the meicher shalikeich mekabel olav, because you see that lekeach is mekabel olav luv maktsa shmarim beloy pekatim. So what we need from this brice is that last word beloy pekatim. You see, lekeach doesn't take the pekatim, so we have a stira. We have a brice that says that the mafkin lekeach are the same when it comes to the pekatim. We know for sure the mafkin has to take the pekatim, which is mashma lekeach has to take the pekatim. Here you have a brice that says that lekeach is mekabel olav luv maktsa shmarim. Beloy pekatim, that lekech doesn't take the like kasha, says the Gemara. It's not a kasha. Hadi of lezuzi betishrei the kashal kaminei benisa. It could be the chiluk is when the transaction took place. If the money traded hands in Tishrei, which Rashi says that's during the time where it's shchiach that there will be pekatim, the kashal kaminei benisa. Even if the delivery happened in Nisan, then kimida the Tishrei hadi avle. The deal was done based on Tishrei, and in Tishrei there was pekatim, so it was understood it was going to be pekatim there. Like kach has to take the pekatim, but the other bryce says hadi avle zuzi benisan, the kashal kaminei benisan, kimida the Nisan. If all went down during Nisan when there's no pekatim over here, the halacha is going to be different. I'll just conclude with one more ha'ara regarding the Achbar, Kashal Shikha. I saw a beautiful Aura. We say in the Parsha of Vidui Meiser, Loi Avarti mi mitzvah Isecha, Veloi Shachachti, Loi Achalti Vaini mi mitzvah. Right? So you have Loi Avarti mi mitzvah Isecha, Veloi Shachachti. So I saw a beautiful Parsha. There's a Medrash in Parsha's Ekev. The Medrash says as follows: the Shuv Meiser Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. There was a story with Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Shaholach leir achas. He went to a city. V'hayu achbarim oichlum betchum shalaisayir. So he comes to a city and they hear this great rabbi is entering the city. Big bamoifis Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. They come running over to him and tell him, we have a big problem here in our shtetl. What's the problem? The mice are eating the tvua. We're having a lot of tzaras with it. Bo bikshamimeno. Go see if you could do something. Ma'os Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Amar lahem. He did an audit on the Yerushalayim, the Avodas Hashem of this city, and what emerged was that they weren't giving Trumas and Maestras. So he told them, Loma enatem afrishim maestresechem kero'oi. Mevakshem atem shenariv eschem shetatem afrishim maestresechem kero'oi ein achborim oichlin oid. See, he said, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to be careful, I promise you that the achborim are going to go away. Says the Medrash, kachava amruloi the hochla achborim leniru oid. They went, they did it, and the achborim never returned. So you see that someone that's not mafrish, trumasu maestras, he causes the achborim to come. If you are mafrish trumas of maestras, then there won't be achbarim. In the parasha of Yidui Meiser, what are you saying? Biarti akodesh min abayis. V'gam nasatav lelevi v'lager layosim v'amono k'chol mitzvayisecha asher tzivisoni. Lo yavarti mi mitzvayisecha. I wasn't over al mitzvayisecha. I gave all the trumas of maestras that I was supposed to get. As a result, achbarim didn't come. I didn't eat from something that achbarim ate. Memela, I didn't do something that's kosher l'shikcha. That's what we fear always. V'loy because I was like, I didn't have the achbarim, therefore, v'loy shachachti.